We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mark Menard in for Christian Garrick along with Bobby Hebert. And I'm going to take you guys back to about a year ago. And I was very hopeful heading into my fantasy football draft because for the first time ever, I had the number one overall pick in my fantasy football.
Who do you pick, Mark? Christian McCaffrey?
I went with the surest bet in the NFL, the guy who was the unquestioned focal point of his team's offense. I went with Christian McCaffrey. That didn't work out so well.
Well, he got hurt.
He got hurt. He spent most of the year kind of sidelined. And I think we saw the Carolina Panthers' fortunes sidelined right along with him for the most part. But hope springs eternal, and Christian McCaffrey is returning to the lineup this season, and you would think that with it, the Panthers' offense should be kind of back to where they were before with Christian McCaffrey and also a new quarterback in Sam Darnold. But to get the full scoop, that's why we bring in our next guest. He's the pregame host for the Panthers on WFNZ in Charlotte and also the sports director over at WCNC-TV, Nick Carboni. Nick, welcome to the show, and how terrible was it that I chose Christian McCaffrey number one overall a year ago?
Mark, I'm sorry for your troubles, man. That stinks. Matt Rhule feels the same way. He thought he was getting a great deal coming in here, too. But, man, I mean, two of those injuries were just hard football plays, and the third one was trying, because he's such a beast in the workout room, trying to come back from those. So hopefully he's healthy this year. I think all of football would benefit from seeing what he can do on the field.
Are you fully expecting like a full recovery from McCaffrey and that he'll be back to doing the things that he's done in the past for that Panthers offense?
Because, Nick, if he is like a full go, and I'm not hating, I love all Malto, the multiple running back positions, all the skill set. Listen. I think he's number one. Now, I'd want to be a Saints homer, but I still think Christian McCaffrey's number one when all said and done.
I think so, too, Bobby. I think that his receiving element, that dynamic he brings there, is better than any running back in the league. And then you add to it the running and running outside, running inside the tackles. I think he's full go right now. Being out at the three-day minicamp, he doesn't seem to have slowed down. He seems to be just as built for this as ever. And one of the new players, I can't remember who, on defense said, God, you see him on tape and you think he's fast, and then you try to cover him in the one-on-one drills and he's somehow even faster. And the Panthers have some good defensive talent this year. And when they line up for those one-on-one receiving drills, McCaffrey as a receiver, he blows right by him. So I think he's ready to go. I think he's full go for training camp and the rest of it.
Now, Nick, when you look at it, obviously say plug and play, you put the next guy up. But true middle linebacker and Luke Kuechly. I mean, I don't know. They went Whitehead and all that. But you talk about a living legend. What Luke Kuechly did with the Panthers from the get-go, where you drafted him and what the success that he had speaks volumes.
Yeah, he's probably, I want to say he's the greatest pick in Panthers history because where they, based on where they picked him. Cam Newton went number one, Peppers two. Those guys are obvious choices there, right? And Kuechly wasn't coming out of Boston College. A lot of people said, well, who's this guy? He's not that big. He's not that fast. And he comes in and he dominates the league, at least the first few seasons he was in. And he had the injuries later on in a brief but spectacular career and maybe just dipped a little bit his final year. But even with that dip, you see the void he leaves in the middle when they try to plug it with a Tahir Whitehead who wouldn't have started for most teams. He's a great guy in the locker room, but just was not able to cover, was not able to stop the run. They get a little bit better there. They get Denzel Perryman, who, when healthy with the Chargers, was awfully good. He's athletic. He's a hard hitter. He can stop the run. He can cover. Jermaine Carter Jr. is a guy that is in now, in, I believe, his fourth season, who really cerebral player at the position, was, which is what you need to kind of catch that talent up to it. I think this is a big year for him. I think they're better off than they were last year, but certainly not anywhere near where they were when they had Kuechly and they had Davis patrolling the linebacker spot.
Now, you know, Nick, would you agree with this? Looking at the NFC South, you know, the fans follow the football, but are you winning in the trenches? Looking at the offensive line, looks, I like the Saints' chances a lot to get the double-digit wins because of that offensive line. And then you look at the progression of the Bucs, their offensive line, where they're at. To me, that's what separates the Saints and the Bucs versus Carolina or the Falcons, is the offensive line.
Yeah, and that's not something I can sit here and tell you right now has been fixed, Bobby, because really, except for right tackle and Taylor Moten, who they franchised and you know, would really benefit from giving him a long-term deal sometime between now and the beginning of the season, they just have a lot of question marks. The only other guy that's firmly in his spot is Matt Paradis, the center, and, you know, he really has had an up-and-down two seasons with the Panthers. Other than that, it's been a mix-mash, a smorgasbord, whatever you want to call it, at the four other spots. And left tackle, it's been a revolving door since Jordan Gross retired like a decade ago. So that is something that is still going to be a question mark, and somebody steps in, especially that left tackle role, and solidifies it. You know, they've got Trent Scott, kind of a veteran guy they had last year. A couple other recent mid-round picks, a second-round pick in Greg Little that hasn't worked out. I mean, it's just been, like I said, a revolving door. The intriguing name to watch there is Brady Christensen, a kid from BYU, played left tackle for Zach Wilson out there. But he's somebody that could also plug inside as a guard. I'm not sure he's an NFL left tackle ready to go right now. So that's going to be, you know, a huge issue here, possibly, especially at the beginning of the season. We're going to have to see how that forms itself.
Now, Nick, looking at the defensive line, because to me, those were kind of household names when they came into the league with Starr and then Kawan Short. But it seems like Derrick Brown. I mean, it seems like if he has the people around him, that he's doing his job. You know, when I look at the Saints and how well they've played against the run, and you look at Malcolm Brown, now he's no longer there, and you look at Sheldon Rankins, he's no longer there. But what is your take on Derrick Brown? Because it seems like to me, maybe you want him to do a little more, but he's lived up to expectations, it seems like to me.
Yeah, it's not like he came out and had an 8-sack season, right?
Right, right.
But the guy played solid football, and you mentioned Kawan Short. Derrick Brown really, I think, kind of took the brunt of Short getting injured and missing basically the entire season last year, because that was a guy they were going to rely on, you know, filling that spot next to him, a veteran presence, a guy who still had something left in the tank to try to take some of the heat off Brown in the middle. And I think Derrick Brown had to kind of, in his rookie year, adjust to that, and he got better as the season went on. He had a solid rookie season against the run and even came up with some pass rush towards the end. He's got Brian Burns on the edge, which is, you know, as quick as he comes off against some of these NFC South quarterbacks, it kind of forces quarterbacks to step up right into that middle, and they've got better talent around him in the middle. Daquan Jones from Tennessee, Caron Reed is somebody they took. And they've got a lot of guys with some flexibility that can switch to the inside as well. So he's in a better spot in terms of what's around him this year than he was last year, and he should only get better individually as well.
Now, you know, Nick, it's the pass-happy league, and you got to cover people. We all worried about, is Marshawn Lattimore going to get suspended? Jack Rabbit is now with the Titans, so you can never have too many cover cornerbacks. So to me, that's kind of been – you know, the Achilles heel for the Carolina Panthers also is that their secondary. You know, to me, they sorely miss James Bradbury, signed by the Giants last offseason. You go forward. I mean, to me, that's still a work in progress, what they're doing in the back end with the secondary.
Yeah, that was a questionable decision here because James Bradberry, while he didn't have the gaudy interception numbers, was a really, really good and one of the best cover corners in the league. And he took, you know, his numbers against Julio Jones and Mike Evans and some of the bigger, better receivers in the division really stood out. And that's why he got paid in New York by his former GM, Dave Gettleman.
Right.
But obviously this year at 8, instead of Justin Fields, the quarterback, the Panthers went ahead and took the first defensive player in the draft, and that was cornerback J.C. Horn out of South
yes.
Carolina, a kid that's really stepped in and impressed just with his physicality, his size, and his mentality and his film study and the questions he's already asking the veterans and OTAs and minicamp. So I think they're in a better position than they were last year when Bradberry left. He's going to have some growing pains, but it allows them to make Dante Jackson not the number one corner, but the number two corner, an LSU kid
right.
and a New Orleans kid. And I think he's better suited for that role rather than the number one spot.
Now, you know, Nick, you look at the fan base. Who's your trigger guy? Obviously, post Drew Brees. You look at the stability over a dozen years. You know, you always had a chance. Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill. But what is the Carolina fan base? You're going now Teddy Bridgewater to Sam Darnold. I mean, I'm a Sam Darnold fan. I think right scenario, we have success. I think Teddy Bridgewater can start in the NFL, but he's like a military brat. You just got to be willing to move. There's not 32 starters. But I think there's more upside with Sam Darnold than Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, and he's younger, and I think that really intrigued the Panthers was the fact that GM Scott Fitter, who ran a lot of the college scouting in Seattle before he came over here this year, liked Darnold, liked his arm, liked his talent when he was at USC. And they get him at 23, 24 years old. And the way they looked at it was, okay, you know, he's right around the same age as a lot of these first-round quarterback
right.
picks this year. And then they consider it a two-for-one because they get Darnold. They recoup most of the picks via a bunch of trades in the draft. And they get their starting corner in J.C. Horn. So that's the way they look at it. You know, it's a bit of a reclamation project, obviously, and we're going to find out pretty quickly, you know, was it Sam Darnold or was it the Jets? And guess who comes to town week one? The New York Jets. It's like
right.
the football gods just dropped it right in our lap. It's gonna be great radio and TV that week, boys. But, you know, we're going to find out pretty quick if it was one or the other. And I think it's an upgrade from Bridgewater. And I give credit to the Panthers for, you know, listen, to find a franchise quarterback, you got to keep swinging. And they said, okay, we got Bridgewater for another year. He was okay. But, no, we want to keep swinging. They went for Matt Stafford. They didn't come up with that trade.
Right.
So they keep swinging. Now they go to Darnold. And we'll see what happens. But I don't think it's a franchise that's going to be afraid. You know, if he's average or worse, I don't think they're going to be afraid to kick the tires again. And you know, I think the pressure's on for this GM and this head coach to get that right and then build the franchise from there.
And now, you know, Nick, I'm glad you brought this up because we could talk about the NFL. Would you say this would be this year's version of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the LA Rams, that Super Bowl or bust, we're all in by getting Matthew Stafford? I mean, I think new stadium, you know, the new owner, Kroenke, Stan Kroenke, that we got to win. Whatever it takes, we got to win. And so, boy, Matthew Stafford, you talk about pressure. Matthew Stafford might have the most pressure out of any quarterback considering his circumstance going to Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I think for him, he looks around at the other quarterbacks in his age group and what they've accomplished. Not even just Super Bowl wins. I mean, we're talking, you know, playoff wins and playoff runs.
Right.
He hasn't really had that chance in Detroit. I'll tell you, the Panthers have matched up with him the last few years, and this year was kind of a dud game for the Lions when they came here, and Patricia got fired right after. But I'm still impressed with what he can do. And I think Sean McVay, you know, he comes into the league, he goes to the Super Bowl, wins the NFC Championship, he gets a taste of it, and he wants it back. And it just never felt like he felt that was going to happen still with Jared Goff. Goff is still
a
decent quarterback, and he's got a chance, but I think this is a good match. McVay and Stafford, I mean, these are two brainiacs when it comes to offense and the quarterback position in the NFL, and it's going to be a fun combination, I think. I think Stafford's still got a lot left.
Yeah, well, you know, you talk about McVay and you get there and you taste that and you want to get back there. He knows that first taste of if you really break it down, that was bitter. The Saints got cheated. I mean, there's no way the Saints should have been in that Super Bowl. But listen, he knows what it takes. You're in a major market like Los Angeles, and you get a guy like Matthew Stafford, that could be the difference maker because it's very similar. You know what's crazy, Nick, when I think about this? I don't know if it's like this in Charlotte because that's basketball country. Here we got the Pelicans. If the team wins, they go to the game. They don't win, they could care less. Los Angeles is like, okay, look, Lakers, Dodgers and all that, a lot of pressure on the Chargers and the Rams. If you win, we'll support you. So that's why I think the Rams, they had to have a splash, considering it's like the Disney World, the NFL, new stadium, the atmosphere. But they got to win for people to be in the stands.
Yeah, and Charlotte's probably, I wouldn't say it's like L.A., I also wouldn't say it's like New Orleans in terms of football, but if Charlotte puts out a winner, I mean, the whole crowd is talking about it. The whole city's talking about it. 2015 with Cam and their Super Bowl run and NFC Championship run, I mean, that was all anybody did, talked about, watched. You know, and Charlotte will support a team throughout. They're not so fair weather, but it's been rough here. The end of the last, you know, three of the last 4 years dating back to that Super Bowl run.
Yep.
There's really been nothing to cheer about and no reason to buy tickets to these games at the end of the year when they're just, you know, figuring out which draft pick they're going to get. So if Charlotte can put out a competitive team, an interesting team this year, I think they'll do all right in terms of support. People want the Panthers to be good again. You talk about that taste. They had it in 2003 and they lost to the Pats. They had it again, you know, 5 years ago. It's a franchise that's been around for 25 years. It's won two NFC titles and several division titles, but hasn't gotten over that hump. So I think they've accomplished a lot as a franchise, but they need to put consistent winners. They haven't had back-to-back winning seasons here in the franchise's entire history, which
Whoa.
Is crazy. Yeah.
Say it again, Nick, because that is monumental. Considering the Saints, the last four seasons, you know, your fan base gets spoiled. The last four seasons, no one has won more games than the New Orleans Saints in the National Football League. So say it about Carolina.
Carolina would like that crown back.
Yeah.
But they have not won. They have not had back-to-back winning seasons in Carolina in the franchise's entire history.
Whoa,
crazy to think about, and they've had a lot of success in the 25 years, but it's been wildly inconsistent.
We're speaking with Nick Carboni from WFNZ and WCNC-TV over in Charlotte. And Nick, first of all, the Houdat Nation would obviously be greatly behind the Panthers getting a Super Bowl before the Falcons. So there's that.
Okay, I didn't know that was the case. Well, they're trying. And they are respectfully happy that Drew Brees has decided to call it a career because, I mean, talk about just trying to get to that guy befuddled this defensive line. As talented of guys as they've had on defense, trying to get to Drew Brees has just been a nightmare for this team for years.
Nick, the Vegas line has you guys at 7.5 wins for the over-under. So that would be either a 7-10 season or an 8-9 season.
Are you taking the over, Nick? Come
on. Where do you fall on that line?
You have to take the over, huh? Come on.
I've been a bask in the optimism of NFL minicamp this week in Carolina. So I will take the over. I think Darnold has a chance and an opportunity to reclaim his career here this year. He's got good weapons around him and a healthy McCaffrey, hopefully. And the defense got stronger and more talented dating back to the end of last season, into this offseason. And we saw what Matt Rhule started to do in year two at, you know, Baylor and Temple. I think that's what's going to happen here. I think they'll be in the mix for a wild card spot late, and that'll be great. Let's have some interesting football in Charlotte for the first time in a few years.
And I think Matt Rhule and Joe Brady are a big upgrade for Darnold over Adam Gase.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because the offensive scheme he was running with the Jets and Gase, Robbie Anderson told us, it was way more complicated. There was too much. It's a little more simplified here. Now, they're throwing it all at him at once right now, but the plan is, okay, see what he really likes, and then at training camp day one, that's where we'll go. So I think they've got a good plan and a good approach with him.
And you know what, Mark and Nick, but I think the NFL was just so significant because you got great players, is that there's not much difference. Now, even though you add a game, whether you are a 7-10 or a 10-7 type team, you know, 8-9, 9-8 and all that, to me that's intriguing. How the ball bounces your way, you know, you have a little bit of luck, the calls and all that. That's why, to me, you don't want the haves and the have-nots. You want a bunch of teams on the cuffs to be a playoff, you know, scenario. To me, that's what makes the NFL so special, how competitive it is when you look at the rosters.
Yeah, and I think with the Panthers going back to what they could do this season, they were 0-8 in, you know, game-tying or try to get the win situations last year. And if they can just fix some of those critical mistakes at critical times, Bobby, you know that.
Yeah.
And that's what they're working on. They didn't have the mini camp together under the new staff last year and all of that. So they're putting that time in now to turn that stat around, which will in turn, in theory, turn their season around this coming year.
Talking with Nick Carboni. And, Nick, I know you cover the Panthers, but you are also the sports director for WCNC-TV, so I hope you'll indulge me. I got to ask you about the NBA Rookie of the Year, LaMelo Ball, and what you saw out of him with the Charlotte Hornets this year.
Well, he's way better than his brother. I know that.
Oh, yeah, we can go there, too, for sure. And LaMelo beat him down there this year, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just for a franchise that has had some real bad lotto luck. I'm talking Anthony Davis there. And we know the history between Charlotte and New Orleans and the NBA. For a franchise to go through that time after time and then be slated to pick eighth, but then the ball bounces their way, as you say, and they pick third, and they pick the correct guy. And not only that, the guy is an absolute superstar in the making. I know a lot of people probably didn't watch a ton of Hornets basketball this year, but they had a run where they were all the way to fourth place in the East. Gordon Hayward got hurt, then LaMelo got hurt, but I think that they've got a bright future here. They're doing things the right way with their coach and GM, and luck of the lotto. They got themselves a star for the first time in a long time, and he just seems like he's destined for great things in the NBA.
Nick Carboni, WFNZ and WCNC, pulling double duty there in Charlotte. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Nick.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.